Okay, so let's do just the intros real quick.
Yay! Episode 20 something something something. You know why I'm really
that
excited?
That is false happiness because there's nothing happy about this week's episode.
There's nothing happy about it. In fact, I'm very angry in this entire episode. So I think at one
remember
point
our
my
slogan,
voice
TTT the day crappy. Today's day happy. TTT crappy. We will make your day
this
worse.
This is what happens when we're in at like nighttime.
Okay,
on a
yeah,
it was a long day.
It was
day
a long
today.
Day for. Two of us, and one of us doesn't have a life and is just a jerk all the time. Naked Wrestling is going to talk about killer robots, AI, and do we want it? Do we not? How do we feel? Milo's an idiot.
Body's wrong.
BB-8 is cute.
Weekly wrap-up, we're talking about Narcos, because Milo discovered it.
Shut
just
up!
Like Columbus discovered America. Fear the Walking Dead, and why
so
Stax is really over it by now. And
so
Gwenpool, and how all of you on Facebook hate it just as much as we do.
Fuck Gwenpool.
But thank you for being verbal, Facebook fans.
Yeah, not that we feel strongly about that at all.
The Right Game is talking about Ex Machinima and BB-8. Because he can't stop.
Machina.
Machina. Oh, sorry.
Maybe everyone says that damn thing wrong.
Claudia's dumb.
Machina.
I said that right.
Nerd Mixtape is talking about the Hollywood vampires and how Milo's going by himself because he didn't even include me in the conversation because he's a dick.
I got some advice for Cloud.
This is Tiny Table 3. I'm Cloud City and I'm at Geek. _is_in.
And I'm at Small Stacks. At Small Stack is my Twitter handle, and you can find me on Facebook, and you can find me at least currently at my blog, which is stacksright.com. And I love everybody tonight. I don't know what you guys, what your problem is.
Stacks just stayed out
I
of the angry.
Everybody. BB-8 made me happy.
And I'm Milo at Milito's Guitar, and I have some advice.
Nobody needs to hear your advice.
My advice is, don't listen to anything Claudia has to say because she doesn't formulate any type of coherent thought.
Claudia's dead.
You're a Muppet. All right. This is Tiny Table 3. You can follow us on Facebook, Tiny Table 3, on Instagram, Tiny Table 3, and on Twitter, we're tinytable_3. So go on all those things. We're starting to have some good amount of fun on all the other stuff, but Facebook is always a great, great place to hang out. And let's just get this shit started because I cannot sit by this guy for one more minute today.
Milo and Stax rule. Cloud drool.
Oh my god, what are you, a fucking sixth grade girl from the 90s?
Yes, he is.
Jesus.
That's awesome.
Pants rubbing.
Yeah, pants rubbing. Take a drink and rub my pants.
Did you?
Okay, I'm just recording.
Okay, let's just start.
Hang on, take it.
Did we decide what we were going to do today?
I just wrote killer robots on the board, because, you know, that's the default.
That's great. We are totally not phoning in this episode.
Mm-mm.
This episode was well-researched. Prior to
yes.
This moment.
Well, I watched Ex Machina the weekend, so I have some reverence.
Nice. Wait, what the fuck am I doing?
Or are we going to do favorite nerd pets?
Let's theme it out, man, and we're going to go with...
How about favorite robot pets?
Favorite robot pets.
So are we doing like a...
If robots start taking over the world, how are they going to reproduce? Like, what are they going to do?
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that. Okay, so we got it now. We're in. Okay, so welcome to Tiny Table 3.
Yay!
Episode 22.
And Milo's being a shit.
He is. Yeah, he's already doesn't like
anything.
Like,
he doesn't
saying.
Like anything.
Because you guys are all dumb. I can't even
you're
hear
dumb.
Myself, really.
You can't hear yourself? Here we are. Keep talking.
Hello? Yeah, there I am.
Unfortunately, I can hear you
yep,
now, too.
Yep. Oh, there we go.
How's that?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's good.
Now.
And now I really don't like anything you guys are saying.
You're so stupid.
Yeah. Okay. So, welcome to episode 22.
Yep.
And we want to get right into Naked Wrestling?
Yep, we're jumping right in because okay. This is late night recording.
Okay, so, and we're staying on schedule. We're going to do it.
I don't really know what the Naked Wrestling is because first it was killer robots and now it's killer sex robots.
No. It's if we are to achieve artificial intelligence, so robots that can learn and are as smart as or as dumb as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Will they take over the world?
Everybody wants to take over the world, man. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Including robots.
I don't think robots would
they'd play that song
over,
if they
actually,
did it.
To be honest.
What?
Because
You just want to fight.
I'm
going to
tell you why. Because every time they explain like how robots get more smart than us. More smarter.
Yeah, thanks for making the argument for the human beings.
So basically what they do is they're all like, I'm going to search the internet.
Well, at least Milo can't create AI.
That seems to be the...
And see, that's dumb because a robot would only be as limited... It would be as limited as its creator because it can't learn... Like, if it learns stuff,
it
can't make discoveries like in chemistry and stuff.
Sure it can.
Nah.
But what it can do is go back and learn a lot of things.
It's still limited by the way it was programmed.
No, it goes back and it learns. That's AI.
Nope.
It's proper AI.
It's still limited, though. AI, proper AI is assuming... You're assuming that AI...
What does the A stand for?
Yeah. So we're talking about computers that can think as creatively and as... fast as a human mind.
Well, faster.
Okay, then it's still limited to what a human mind can do. You're assuming all artificial intelligence would be Stephen Hawking on steroids.
It might be.
It could be.
Maybe some of them.
Right.
So that's why I don't think they'd take over. Because you'd still have fucking idiots, okay?
Okay, but here's the thing. But you have to think about it this way. So the person who programs this, this AI is created, it's like totally... perfect in every sense of what AI can be. It can learn and it can do all these things. And now this human programmed it to better the human race. As it learns everything, I think it would start locking us the fuck up and murdering people because it's going to better the human race by getting rid of a lot of the human race.
Again,
not a lot, but a very strong percentage. No, I'm just saying that's a possibility. If it's programmed to do something and it gets all this info.
No, I'm not saying that none of them would be violent. I'm just saying you're assuming that all of them would be smarter than the people that they're around, and also
have you walked like into like just the typical American street and asked somebody some questions? So I think my assumption that they would be smarter than most people, I think, is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah,
because my cell phone is smarter than most.
My cell phone is smarter than I am.
That is probably my Keurig coffee maker is, I think, pretty smarter than most.
Oh my god, you guys, we are winning
again. I think that they could learn stuff obviously and retain it probably better. But it'd still be limited to what we know on Earth, whatever it learns, and it'd have to expand on stuff that nobody knows. So it would still take time for it to discover new things.
It would take time for it to discover things, but not as much time if it could gather all this information.
We're talking a machine that could calculate at over a million instructions per second.
But I guess what I'm saying is I think that it's going to take to the extreme whatever it's programmed to do. I think that it has a lot to do with the creator.
Well, I mean, what we're talking about, though, is a machine. If you get a machine that's that smart, will it achieve consciousness? In other words, will it... the term is ideation, so it actually views itself as...
Will it be
existing.
Sunny?
...existing. Because, I mean, we're born into a world that has an embedded code that's pre-existed us for thousands of years. So we're kind of...
But we're
controlled to a certain extent, but if you have a machine that doesn't have those type of conflicts...
I dropped my phone.
As long as it wasn't BB-8 falling off the shelf, I'm okay.
He's still staring at you, ready to pounce.
They have done research, though, that the human mind has a wrong and right moral code in it that's not even necessarily... They call it the, like, God gene.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So if something became artificially intelligent and started doing stuff like that, inherently it would inherit that because that's part of being a conscious...
Inherently, it would inherit that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean.
This is a very intelligent conversation.
Yeah, it's like Isaac Asimov's. You would encode in the artificial intelligence. Isaac Asimov's three laws of robotics, which you've seen iRobot.
Yeah, but that never works.
Human beings. It can't harm human beings.
It works with Sonny.
He's outside the three laws. No. He doesn't operate within the three laws. No, but that's the whole point of the movie.
But he still doesn't like.
No, he's just not evil. See, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. It's not all robots would be evil. The only one there's actually only one robot in iRobot the movie, which has nothing to do with what you're talking about, because that's a different iRobot, the original one.
Well, you're talking about the Will Smith one, right? Yeah. That's lame.
Okay, so that's a good movie.
I've only seen the Will Smith one, and I like it.
The original. The other one's, it's a short story. It's like five pages long. Not
Your
really,
mom's
but it's
a
not
short
that long.
Story.
Well, it depends. I mean, Isaac Asimov's earliest story on AI is a story called Robbie, which has to do with a robot that is a caregiver for a child, and it's essentially replacing the mom as sort of the emotional support and the jealousy that emerges between, you know, a robot replacing and whether you can love a robot or not. It's a cute story, actually. I mean, inevitably, they, you know, the end of the story is that, you know, you kind of rooting that they save the robot
instead of the mom, or is she dead?
No, the mom comes back around because the child loves the robot, and the mom becomes jealous of the robot and wants it returned to the factory. Mm-hmm. And they eventually pretend like the robot got lost and it's gone, and the kid just like cries and cries and cries till finally they reunite the child with the robot. That's kind of sweet.
Well, I'm saying that like Vicky in iRobot, the movie that you're talking about, was the only evil robot, and she controlled the other robots. There was no other artificial intelligence.
Okay,
let's
give the exact three laws of robotics here. Okay, so a robot may not injure a human being, or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Number one. A robot must obey orders given to it by a human being, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And then number three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not come into conflict with the first or second law. And that's the fail-safe, right? Well, I mean, we're talking about free will. So, like, if a robot achieves artificial intelligence, will it distorted. Act independently? Because I mean, we can as human
now
beings,
this,
we can kill people.
This actually, you're getting serious because
I know I'm making
about,
naked wrestling way too serious
because mentioning something from different from consciousness. I think free will is a completely different thing because if you're religious, you believe that free will is the one thing that separates us from all the animals and everybody else, and then that is the one thing we're given by God that makes us different. So by saying free will, you're jumping into a whole nother realm of conversation.
But that depends also on what you classify as free will, because technically a dog has free will.
Well, I was going to say, do animals have consciousness?
They do.
Do they have ideation? Do they have a soul? Do they have, I mean...
But look at a dog.
I think it would be close to how it is in Chappie. Which it got horrible reviews, but I actually like the movie. But it's true. It would start out as like a naive child because it wouldn't know. It's new to the world,
right?
And then
sometimes do a lot of really stupid.
No,
shit.
But it would be the same as someone with same thing as a person with complete full intelligence.
I wouldn't want that in my house.
It's shaped by what's around it. I mean, I'm sure it would become violent.
So
if
you're working on
violence.
AI, let's not make it super strong. How about that?
Yeah, don't give it legs. Or maybe legs, but no arms.
Yeah, just let's not make it super strong.
So that it's the best kicker in the world?
I don't want it to clinch a knife.
Yeah.
That's my rule.
It'll still kick you in the nuts.
Yeah.
And then you have to do some extreme pant rubbing to get it out.
Pants rubbing.
Word of the day, pants rubbing. Well, round the table. You don't think it's going to happen. You don't think that...
I'm telling you, the only evil robot would be the ATM. Because it's already a fucking banker.
Well, the ATM. I mean, you're not gonna give ultimate consciousness
to an ATM.
The ATM
gives me money.
It doesn't have arms or legs. That's the first thing to get consciousness. Because then it's like, oh, good evening, madam. You don't have any funds. Go fuck yourself.
That's what the ATM already tells you,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So just imagine,
me every day, man.
Just imagine if it could look you in the face and laugh at you.
It does.
Pretty much.
Yeah, slot machines are like, they're like a slot machine.
Oh, God, slot machines would be the meanest.
They would, yeah.
Freaking AI ever. They'd be like, we know how to cheat every system, motherfucker.
Except the one you're playing at would be mean, and then the one next door would be like, come on, man, it's not that bad.
It's not so bad over here.
Sit over here.
Yeah. bitch.
You know, I take my money if it does some pants rubbing in exchange.
Oh, man, it's Vegas. It would do some pants rubbing.
Well, Vegas is there's free pants rubbing everywhere. Yeah. In Vegas. Free drinks and pants
free
rubbing.
Free titties.
Where are you getting it for
face?
Free, man? It ain't free.
It's free, dude.
There's no free pants rubbing anywhere.
Yeah, El Cortez.
Well, not you've had dudes. Very different maybe experiences than I have.
Maybe girls have free pants
rubbing.
I didn't
say girls. I just said pants rubbing.
All right.
It's the old guy sitting over in the sports bed. You can get some pants rubbing.
You can.
I'm good.
Okay, so you say no. It's perfectly safe developing intelligent.
I didn't say that either. I said I don't think that they would inherently be evil. It would be based on how it grows up and what it learns. Because that's like saying a baby is inherently evil. I mean, people are violent, but not everyone grows up to act on its violence.
I don't think inherently evil, but I think babies are inherently dangerous. I mean, the potential's there without.
But yeah, but that's saying like, well, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm potentially dangerous at all times.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that. You could sit on somebody.
So, I mean, like, I don't act on any, like, everyone has those moments where they're like, I just want to hit that person in the face, but not everyone acts on those things. So I'm just saying, like, you're maybe would choose against.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the flip side of this because I'm on the side that, and believe me, I want this stuff.
You want BB-8 to be real?
I do. I want BB-8 to be real. I absolutely do. But I do think there is a danger in that for sure. I think that because we don't have anything on this planet that has the mobility and the scale of intelligence of human beings. There's nothing that can outcompete us. And it would be creating something that absolutely could and would, I think, inevitably see us as a threat.
Again,
what do you think, Cloud? Do you think it's dangerous or we should just go forward?
I think that we should definitely use our own potential as much as we can, and that does include trying to figure out AI and things, but I think we should always do it mindfully with a purpose of what we're trying to achieve with it, because we're already put on this planet as the human beings that we are by Big Bang, divine right, Buddha, Jesus, whatever it is that you believe in. But like, we don't need to recreate us. We need to do things that help better our situation and help better our human, like the human race. That may be AI, but I'm not sure.
I honestly don't think we'd ever unlock AI for that purpose. So we don't even understand how the fuck we know.
Yeah, like, we don't completely understand how our own intellect works.
How we're aware of our own. Like, nobody has to talk to you about that you're going to die.
I think that we don't know and we're going to do it.
But that's why I'm saying we need to. I wouldn't open it up so much to finding this amazing, the AI that reaches consciousness. I would do more the AI that can learn so that you can more quickly achieve a goal that we need to. Yeah, I don't think self-aware. Okay, then I don't think self-aware is a good idea. I think there is a certain limit to the AI that you need depending on what you're trying to achieve.
And I don't even think we'll unlock it, to be honest. You're kind of saying.
Dude, no, I'm talking
we're probably like a year or two away from creating actual life in the lab. Not even artificial life, but synthetic new life forms.
But we're building it from things we already have.
No, they're actually creating a brand new organism.
Well, then you're fucking insane.
I understand that, but that's
crazy.
That's why we have sci-fi, by the way, is to go, no, wait a minute, what are you doing over there? Could you please
not do that anymore?
Because the science is so complicated these days that the people that make the rules and whether they do this stuff or not haven't a fucking clue. Like, you could have a congressional panel, and you have people sitting on these congressional committees who make the laws, and they don't understand anything the scientists are saying. And the scientists are so focused on science because it's so complex, they can only know that one thing. They haven't studied sociology, theology, philosophy, and they think, let's just do it because we can, and then we all die. doing it to do it, and that's what we're saying. Anyways, let's move on.
Okay. Just do it.
So I think it's dangerous, you think it can't happen, and you think we should if it's for the better.
No, I don't think that we should do what you guys are calling true AI. I think we should do things
stop.
That...
Stop.
There's, I think that there's computers. A limit.
Yeah. I think. Well, there are. I want to say, what is it? Oh God, what's the Japanese guy?
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know his name, and I don't want to sound super racist, so I'm not going to guess.
Well, I mean, he was one of these guys that said that actually we're a little premature in saying that we're going to achieve this because there is sort of a limit and a wall that has to be broken through in the because I mean you exponentially imagine forward, you know, the technology, and he kind of says, well, you know.
No, it's the same thing as he's the one that talks about wormholes, right?
Yeah,
and that's fucking stupid because you don't know where the wormhole ends.
Anyways, so that's what we think.
Claudia's
this is going to go on forever.
It is going to go on forever.
And Milo's pissing me off. So let's go on to the weekly wrap up.
Weekly wrap up.
I learned Claudia's dumb this week.
Oh my God. Did we have a fight going on here?
Dude, I'm going to make sure that Milo's face pants rubs Bill Clinton's balls.
Oh my God. That could be worse. That could have been a worse choice.
Can he play the saxophone at least while it happens?
No.
Oh, I want a picture of that. So what happened this week? What do we have going on?
Well,
there actually were a couple of things.
I discovered Narcos on Narcos.
Oh, you discovered it, man?
I discovered it for myself.
Did you put the flag?
It's a Netflix original.
Flag in the ground?
It's Netflix, right? It's Netflix original. I'm the one person on the out here. And believe me, you guys are with everyone else because everyone's talking about this.
It's a great show.
It's awesome.
I'll let Claudia go because obviously she's the coolest.
Wow.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, you're like, I discovered. And I'm like, dude,
I said,
like
oh
5 seconds
God.
Ago, we were talking about how we
First
both
off,
watch it.
This is going to be the worst episode ever because I'm yelling a lot. But I'm just saying I discovered it for myself. I'm not saying that I fucking made the show.
Do you have a dorsal fin?
God. So Narcos is about Pablo Escobar and...
Oh, is it set like...
It's Colombia, like 1970s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
for
some reason, I thought it was more of a modern.
No.
Take.
No, it's like a.
So is it like a historical drama?
Kind of their drug war.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
It tells you the
cool.
start, and it's like film noir, and it's like. It's cool. Like, it's violent enough,
is it,
but it's not
over the top
violent.
Dramatization, or is it try to be.
No,
it's pretty
realistic?
Spot on.
Oh, wow.
It's so. Like, how far are you?
Episode 5?
Yeah, I think I'm on 4, and I think 4 started to pick up. So, like, it's really... It's not that it was slow in that you're not enjoying it. It just really laid down, like, a lot of, like, information in the first
How the drug
four.
Lords came to power.
Yeah. And so, like...
And they use voiceover, right?
They use... Well, film noir, like, there's a main detective of the show, and he's a DEA agent from the United States that's come down to work with Colombian police. And he kind of, like, tells you the story on top of them doing their thing.
Is that ongoing through the episodes?
He's done that in every episode.
It's not a disruptive, though.
Oh, no, I like that, actually.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. It's done well.
But
anyway.
it's done well.
It's done a scene transition, essentially. Right. Like, so that you're not sitting there watching 16 hours of conversation between guys that you don't care about.
Yeah, and half of it's in Spanish, really. I mean,
yeah,
a
so
good
it's
portion.
Pretty spot on. All the actors are... Latin
Which
American.
I love because you're really getting put into that world. Like, you get to see the difference because they're talking about the U.S. and how they handled it and Colombia. So you're not having Colombians speaking in English with everybody just assuming that they're speaking in Spanish. Like, it's very cool.
Cool.
And the funny thing is, Narcos is the stories and stuff you think are, like, ridiculous, but it actually happened. And it's well documented.
That's
stuff.
What's cool about it is it's not an over dramatization. Just crazy shit happened
Truth
for
is
this.
Stranger than fiction, man.
Yeah,
you guys are making me want to see this.
It's really
they talk about
good.
How Pablo Escobar almost became president of Colombia.
Oh wow!
And it's a real like it's a legit like it's well there's
so I'm
they,
very
they put in real footage
right.
from his campaigns into the show.
Is I'm a little bit on the fence when it comes to historical fiction, or rather historical dramatizations, because you want to get it right. You know, you don't want to...
It depends, because The Tudors was awesome and
That's
totally
true.
Inaccurate.
That's absolutely true. So was Rome, you know, the first...
I never saw Rome.
Yeah, I mean, they're true... Oh, you really should see
Game
it.
Game of Thrones is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate to history.
Yeah.
You're Westeros, you know. It's pretty recent. You can know this information. You can. There's witness to it.
Yeah, I mean, this is all stuff that's been uncovered. It's just being pieced together and the story's being told.
It's all well documented because it was probably one of the highest watched, like, drug gangs. So, like, all the stuff is... And the drug lords actually kept a lot of records.
Right, oh yeah.
So this was before computers, so...
Oh, they're all business. That's what's so interesting about it. It's just, it's a business.
But I mean, it's also, again, it's also before computers, so they kept paper trails. Like, you had to. There was no hard drive that you could wipe.
Right.
So there's a bunch of shit on them and that they've learned, and they talk about, like, how he basically manipulated everyone to kind of go his way, and that... he was so high in the government and stuff that it's just like crazy, crazy shit that you wouldn't believe. But
you needed somebody like him to have the vision to want to be high up in the government to make it what it became.
Yeah,
well, that's the other cool thing about it. It's like you couldn't just be a drug lord going about your business all the time. Money's going to get you far, but he had like the actual... There's other drug lords in this story.
Right.
So he had the actual like thought process of like, let's unify against... you know, these certain things. We don't have to be friends on every front.
Well, that's my question. What is the portrayal of Escobar like? Is he a sympathetic character? I mean, not that you would necessarily like want to join his family, but I mean, is he a character that they...
I think
they don't
they,
make him...
Is he the central character, I guess, is the first question.
Yeah, him and the American detective.
Okay.
Are the two central? Because they're like the polar
you don't
opposites.
Hate
again,
him.
I love Gus Fring from Breaking Bad, but as a bad guy. But I understand his motivations are fairly clear. So I can understand, looking at his past, the type of guy he is. Now, taking a historical figure like Escobar, who is obviously a violent individual, but I mean, could you understand from the way the storytellers are portraying him as like
are
his actions understandable?
No, he was greedy. He was, in my opinion, it's straight up greed.
Psychopathic kind of.
No, you kind of show the side of him.
He's not terrible, though. Like, you don't hate... He's not being made into a monster. If that's... Like, he's not a monster, but it is very much run by greed. He is not trying to better Colombia.
I mean, they show him, you know... they talk about how...
To see this.
He grew up poor.
Mm-hmm.
And then he actually smuggled, like, regular stuff, like weed and TVs and stuff, before he was a cocaine drug lord. But they explain how he got a hold of the stuff through some guy from Chile, which is a whole other story. It's pretty interesting. But, like, they make him out where you kind of see where he's kind of... He's warped. Like, his motivations have been warped. So, initially, he probably started... He did it because, obviously, he was poor and it came from desperation in terms of how he started into illegal activities. And then he's very much a family man. And
no, he's not. Whoa. What?
Okay. Why don't you let me finish before you start judging?
Why don't you watch the episodes again?
So they show him like how he always was around his family. Like he had his family involved. Like so I mean it in that sense. I don't mean that he's like super loyal.
He used his family.
Oh my god, dude. Calm down.
He used his family.
So
that was a front.
His mom used to hide money for him and stuff.
I got
was
it,
very
got
involved.
It.
His wife knew what he did too, but she was like also, you know, complacent and involved in it. So he was also
a womanizer.
Yeah, but he's a drug lord.
Super family oriented. Can I speak now?
Go ahead. You're arguing over my talk, so go ahead.
I'm just saying, I think you need to go back.
No, I don't, because I know what I'm saying.
So I'm guessing this is highly recommended?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Highly recommended.
This is something everyone get on the board with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then watch other documentaries about gangs and drugs, because they're all
awesome, man.
Now, I guess not all of them, but most are awesome.
For this weekly wrap, but for me, I mean, I'm not even going to bother with Fear the Walking Dead. I did watch the
You're still
recent.
Watching it?
Yeah, I said I'd give it 3, and I did.
And are you giving it 4?
You know, it was so uneven. Again, it's not horrifyingly terrible, but it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And for most of the feedback that I get from people that really like The Walking Dead, they kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
But it's so far it's been pretty damn successful. But I mean, it's seriously.
The Walking Dead comes back in 4 weeks. I'm like, I don't need. I'm done.
Yeah, that was kind of they had the trailer for the new season of Walking Dead, and I watched that. I went, you know, that 7 seconds of the real Walking Dead was better than the whole hour of Fear the Walking Dead that I just watched. Don't even start. The acting in Walking Dead and the writing is fantastic,
dude.
it's very well made.
I'm gonna beat you up after this episode.
You're the one being dumb. I'm not doing shit. I hate to say this,
but you know, I've turned a corner. And this is my own criticism that I'm so disappointed by it that I can't even give it a fair chance anymore. Because now I'm just like,
you're just rubbing your pants.
Yeah, I'm totally rubbing my pants. And it's not rubbing, the show is not rubbing my pants the right way.
That's pretty good.
The wrong direction on the
That's
pants.
That's pretty hard to do.
It really
not
is.
Not rubbing
yeah.
your pants the wrong
yeah,
way.
Yeah, if you can't get that right.
The right way, I mean. Dude.
Yeah, but it's, everything just stands out as being just so.
Too much zipper.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was watching the show and it's like, because you know, when I heard the show originally advertised, I was thinking, this should be great. We're going to see exactly how society falls apart.
Yeah. In theory, it would have been really cool.
And then you have these...
In execution.
Yeah. And like, again, like you mentioned last time around, like the whole idea that no one would have an idea what a zombie is. And there's like, you know, it's like,
It's just a setting that they created, because in The Walking Dead, it is, you get that they've never seen something like this before and you can believe it. But the setting that they created where everything is modern, everything is of our world right now.
Right. It's super uneven.
So
it like
annoying.
Went from like, you know, in the one episode, it went from like total social breakdown. I'm like, okay, so we're now already in The Walking Dead, you know, where they just sort of jumped ahead to like by the end of the show where people were just still hanging out in the neighborhood, taking out their trash. And it was like, okay, no, it's all over the place.
It's not a linear progression.
It's all over the place. It's like, and there's none of the logical questions that everyone would be asking. Like seriously, there's like, there's a moment where they walk into the neighbor's house and there's like a zombie over a dog eating a dog. And the dad like tries to reason with the zombie. Like, hey there, pal. You know, as the guy's trying to eat his face, he's like, no, okay. And the other guy's got a gun. He's like, no, don't shoot. I'm talking to this guy. I'm like, dude, the guy was chowing on a dog.
I'd shoot.
Yeah, or
I don't care if it's
or at least not be like, hey, dude, let's
maybe he
let's
just
talk
wanted
about
to be
this.
Since I'm not going to go to that joke because that's racist.
Yeah, it's just not very good. Anyways, what else happened this week? When did something else on the board?
No,
this week?
We had Gwenpool, but I'm not.
Oh
gonna,
God!
I'm not talking about that. I exclude myself. From
I've already had a bunch of people. I posted this up on our Facebook site.
People
had an adverse response to it. It's if you haven't heard about it. Well, look, everybody. If you don't, you're not in the comic books. Spider-Gwen is a great character. Gwen Stacy was a great and a surprise. From how the character was drawn, it's a great character.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel, in the commercial endeavor to make cash, decided to take Spider-Gwen and to capitalize on her popularity and to create a Gwenpool.
Which makes no sense.
Well, okay, so I read the article. And apparently it was a variant cover.
Yes.
And then they were like, well, fuck it. Let's just make it a
comic.
Exactly. And I've already stated my opinions on this from the very beginning, where it's like, don't fuck with characters that are already there. Just write a new fucking female character.
I'm just not okay with even like the character of Gwen Stacy to be a Deadpool.
I agree.
Like, how do you even put those two things together?
No fucking sense. Yeah.
That's stupid.
It's just capitalizing on the popularity of Deadpool. They figured, we'll just put her in a big pink Deadpool.
Well, I don't think gender bending in any sense, I'm not a fan of, because I've already explained that they should just write a new fucking character. I don't care. You can make cash by making a new character. In fact, that'll probably make you more cash.
I'm okay. I mean, people were like, you're upset about the Thor gender bending, and I was okay with that because at least in that universe, they explained it, you know, as sort of Thor is a title, not necessarily a person. And that's okay, because you can have...
No.
Yeah, you can, though. I mean, it's...
I'm just saying...
But I mean, at least it's not like just randomly just shoving a character
just,
somewhere.
This one
it
is.
Is
this,
always, though.
Well, I mean,
I feel
okay.
like it's like, let's do an origin story that's the same thing, only this time it's a girl. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Okay, but with
Diego's going to be mad at me anyways just for saying that I like Thor. He hates it. Our comic book expert hates it when
it's like canon. Hulk and She-Hulk. Like, I'm okay with that for the most part because She-Hulk is a different character.
Right, yeah.
But
or
like,
Spider-Man, Spider-Woman.
Yeah, but totally they're different characters. Yeah. So, I mean, you can just build a new character instead of being like, Thor's a girl
you're
now.
Right, you're right. But like, but technically, though, but Thor is not it's not like they changed the sex of the Thor character. It's a different person. It's a different character.
Yeah, but still, Thor's not making a title. Thor's the name
Gwen
of a Norse
Stacy,
god.
Stop it. But making Gwen Stacy Deadpool.
Yeah, I think that's stupid.
It makes no sense.
We
the
were
characters,
all in agreement in that, I
think.
Yes,
we were all in agreement. That was me. And I don't get that angry typically.
No,
I literally wrote, this is fucking stupid.
That one's fucking stupid.
It is fucking stupid.
All right. Let's move on fast because we're running behind.
Early ass feeling pretty good about things. Anyways. Is it my turn?
It's your turn, right game.
I didn't have a lot today other than the fact that I saw... Because we started with talking about artificial intelligence. And I did see Ex Machina the other day.
Yeah, I wanted to see that, but I haven't had a chance.
It's... Oh, my God. It's great. I love a really good AI. And believe me, this is a tired topic, I think, in a lot of ways. Because science fiction has been dealing and playing with the idea of a dangerous AI for a long time. So whether you watch Kubrick and Spielberg's artificial intelligence, or if you read, I mentioned Robbie or iRobot from Isaac Asimov, even Ray Bradbury, who died a couple years ago, the great Ray Bradbury. If you want to get into sci-fi and you want to read something that's really just beautiful writing, read Ray Bradbury, just amazing.
Like The Giver and stuff?
No, that's
Laurie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's around... I read all those books
Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah,
is
okay, there
his
it
most
is.
Famous work.
There
but,
you
know. Oh.
But his language is so beautiful. But he wrote, like, There Will Come Soft Rains, which is like a post-apocalyptic world where the only thing alive is still, like, the mechanical life that we fill our lives with. Just the gist of Ex Machina is this idea that this guy, he's a guy that works for a software company, and he wins, like, the contest to go spend the week with the owner, you know, the creator of the company. And he lives in this freaking, like, complex in the middle of fucking nowhere. And immediately, it's great because setting in stories, if you want to build tension in a story, like if you watch a horror story, you isolate your characters. So and one of the best uses of setting is put them someplace where they can't escape. And when he's sort of flown into, like, you know, again, cross glaciers and then to this, like, this pristine forest in the middle of nowhere, and a helicopter just drops him. He's like, where do I go? And he goes, follow the river. And he's like, fuck.
All right.
Yeah. And he just goes to this door, and he has his face scanned, and he walks in, and it's like a fucking prison. You know, there's no windows, you know, and then you have pass keys to get in and out, and the place locks down several times, you know, just, and you're like, this is not good. This is not great. The CEO of the company, the creator of the company, is definitely, again, this is a pretty tired, you know, motif. It's Frankenstein.
Oh.
And it's Frankenstein, not Frankenstein's monster. But he is definitely a friend. It's great. The way they introduce that character is that he's obviously just all off. He's off. But when he first meets the software guy that's supposed to be on a vacation for 7 days, you know, with the creator, he's like, the guy's all sort of jacked up. He's like, oh, I'm just kind of sick today. Got a hell of a hangover. And the employee says, wow, yeah, it must have been a hell of a party last night. And the guy goes, what do you mean? Says, well, like, you know, partying. Goes, there wasn't any party. So you'd be like, oh, fuck, you know.
Yeah.
He's just...
Dean.
And the thing about it, this guy's trying... He basically brings this guy in to test what AI... whether the AI is successful. And he brings up the Turing test. And do you see Imitation Game?
No.
It's about Alan Turing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great
movie.
Benedict Cumberbatch, yeah. Well, the Turing test was from Alan Turing, was that if you achieved real AI, what you do is you would have some type of masking, like a wall between you and someone you were communicating with. And if you couldn't tell and you had a conversation, with a machine on the opposite side, then you knew that you would achieve true AI. In other words, you can have a conversation, you would not know that what was ever over there was a human being or not. So the film is basically a series of conversations that this guy's having with this machine. And obviously they're playing up it's a very good looking machine. It's sexualized. Well, they always do this, right? But the thing is that the machine becomes incredibly manipulative in a way too, because the sexuality thing, she's playing with the affections.
Yeah, she learns.
She's playing on the affections of the guy, mm-hmm. to get what it wants. I mean, I'd call her she, but. But I don't want to ruin the film. I mean, this came out last year. It's just now available on Amazon if you want to check it out. But it's very well done. It's written by the same guy that wrote Sunshine, which is also a wonderful sci-fi film. It always shows up on the list of top 10. And he also wrote 28 Days Later.
Oh, good movie.
But it's his first directorial debut. His first time he's directed a film. And I was stunned by it. It's an absolutely beautiful film. I mean,
I'm
interested. I have to see who was doing the cinematography, because I was shocked at how the shots are set up. I mean, it's just so like, wow, man, I could just take a poster, put that on my fucking wall. It's so beautiful. And there were so many shots in this film where you're like, yes, the story's interesting, but they're just like, wow, that is so beautiful. But they really ramp up the tension. You don't know who is really the bad guy. Now, you want to believe that
cool.
Is the owner bad? Is the robots, are they are they doing the right? Because you feel sorry for them, because the creator essentially imprisoned these AIs, because a lot of it is sort of played on, because he's living in a prison that they can't go outside,
it's,
and
like
they want to go
island.
Outside, and they the island's humans though, parts, right?
Yeah.
But they're,
clones.
It's clones. Different. But it's kind of like that, where you get stuck in this thing. It's essentially a prison.
They start to question.
They have to. Right. They start to question it. Yeah.
But you are really right up to the end. I mean, the whole time I was just trying to figure out who was fucking with who, and
were you right in your own thoughts? Like what? However it ends, were you right?
This is the thing that's really, I think, successful about the writing, is that when you get to the end, you're still not really settled on who was in. There is a twist. There's definitely a point where you're like, wow, I did not see that coming. But the final outcome, like whose side you should end up on, you kind of feel like you should. But when the director or the screenwriter really does a wonderful job of sort of placing you in a position where you're not really settled. You're kind of, when you think of really great tragic dramas, you're supposed to be left kind of struggling with the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about it. Immanuel Kant talks about something being sublime as being something that is eternally puzzling. So you kind of grapple with it, and you think you almost got it, and you can never really get it again. So your mind engages again. So you look at it, and then it clicks in again, and you're never really completely satisfied. So you're always sort of in it. Like a great work of art really should engage you in that way. And it really, that film really felt like that when I got to the end, because I'm still thinking about it. I'm still like, I'm not really sure how I feel about how that wrapped up, because it didn't really necessarily wrap
interesting.
Up.
Interesting.
I feel like I should be happy with the outcome, but I'm not.
You're
I
just
wanted to
like,
see it when I saw the previews, but I never got a chance. So
yeah, it's definitely worth your. It's a great piece of writing. It's a beautiful film. It's very quiet in a lot of ways, but man, it really. Yeah, but you do have to make the leap, because it is artificial intelligence film, and if you can't make the leap into caring about something that is perceived as a machine, because not to pick on people, but I've been to films with individuals who just can't do it. If it's AI, it's a machine. They don't care about it, and mm-hmm. they'll never make that leap. And the movie will be a complete bore.
Well, obviously,
they don't care. But
obviously, you're not like that, because you're already in love with BB-8.
BB-8 is my baby.
And you know what? If it were between you and BB-8 on somebody being a bad person, I'd pick you, man. I'd pick you.
I don't know.
BB-8's too cute. I'd be like, I'm going to side with BB-8. He's adorable.
Yeah.
But in reality, he's going to murder you.
He is in my sleep. Yeah,
he's watching you.
He is. Yeah. Yeah, and just the, my last bit of my piece, and we'll move on. But I will put a video of this on. I did buy the Sphero BB-8, which is the ultimate Star Wars toy, phone app enabled, and it is wonderful. So I already love the design of BB-8. You know, I will say this about the Star Wars AI, the droids that they created. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful future. Yeah, that's the one area when
that's true.
Ex Machina is really examining deeply the content, and but there's so many just lovable, wonderful artificial machines that you just R2-D2 and C-3PO, and that's just so great. Yeah, I love them.
You gotta love them.
And BB-8 is a fantastic design. I haven't even seen the movie yet, and I'm already in love with that stupid little robot. So,
yeah. We'll see a lot of other people, that's for sure.
Okay, so that's my ride game. Go see my Ex Machina. It's a really nice, great bit of writing, and it really does... it's a great examination and of an old, tired theme. Mm-hmm. So they did a great job with it.
No, I totally want to check it out now.
Yeah, it'll disturb you. Yeah, you'll be messed up for a little while.
Great.
Okay, so, cool. Hey, nerdy boy, so you going to do a little nerdy mixtape?
Nerd mixtape.
Or do I need to rub your pants?
Not yet. Well, this week, on Wednesday, actually, I have tickets to go see The Hollywood Vampires, which is pretty interesting. So I thought I'd talk about that. Yeah, so I guess the only original member in it is Alice Cooper now, but...
Yeah, it was a drinking club of musicians at the Rainbow Sunset.
In the early
70s. Oh, man, the Rainbow.
Yeah, but have any of you guys had a drink at the Rainbow, by the way?
I've had about 11 tequila drinks at the Rainbow. Yeah.
I've been next door, but I've never been to the actual Rainbow.
Me and you. Next time we're on Sunset, we're going. I've been there. I went there recently with Matt, a guitar player that I play with, and it was the shittiest service.
It is so shitty. And somehow my friend ended
up Troubadour as well.
You know the bathrooms upstairs?
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
My friend, I found her laying down on the floor, like outside of the bathroom upstairs. It took us forever to find her because, and then finally we only heard her because we heard like coming from upstairs, and we're like, oh God. But the bartender that night was writing tequila, wrote tequila on our arms, like the first drink. And then we started just taking the pen and doing it. So by the next morning, it was like, tequila. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh my God! Yeah, the Rainbow. If you don't know what the Rainbow is, it's right next to the Roxy.
Yeah,
It's legendary. I mean, it's been the party place for musicians. And Lemmy's a regular there from Motorhead. He's like, you can catch him there playing a video poker at the end of the counter. That's what he does. He drinks his Jack and plays some video poker. He lives right up the street.
Well, that's pretty. All those clubs are still popular hangouts, but they're kind of going down. Yeah, unfortunately, with the way the music business is.
But the Hollywood Vampire Club was upstairs, right? It was like a place where the crew can go get wasted.
Well, it was originally started by Alice Cooper, and it was in the early 70s before, right when Alice Cooper got famous.
Mm-hmm.
So like School's Out, that whole album. So he got famous, and when John Lennon wasn't really like doing anything, like he was kind of he would disappear from the media. He would only be seen out in public with Alice Cooper and his drinking club. And then Jimi Hendrix and Keith Moon and...
you know you're serious with Keith Moon in your drinking club. Oh my God.
All these guys. And Alice Cooper said the only rule was you had to be able to drink everybody else under the table.
You had to get in
the
club.
So all these guys were hardcore like alcoholics at this point. They were legendary and they were known to... If you took a photo with them, you were instantly like famous the next day. That was their whole thing. So Alice Cooper had that drinking club for a while. Of course, they all had their vices, and now they're not drinkers anymore, really.
Yeah, Alice Cooper had to sober up because he was going to die.
So what they did is, for whatever reason, they got together again under the name Hollywood Vampires, and the lineup that is actually doing the shows is Joe Perry, Johnny Depp, Duff McKagan, and Matt Sorum, which are none of the original members for Alice Cooper. So
it's a good lineup, though, man.
They're doing, they did, a tribute album that all the music goes to Music Cares charity, which basically provides, financial and medical services and stuff to struggling musicians if you qualify for it. I don't really know exactly how you qualify for it because there wasn't any really information on that. But basically, they're donating all the proceeds to that, and it's kind of like a tribute to what old rock and roll used to be. So, like, they do a bunch of covers, and of course, they do some Alice Cooper songs. And there's some guest stars on it, like Dave Grohl and Slash and Joe Walsh and all those. And Paul McCartney's on the album, too. And
yeah, I think you guys are going to have a great time. Just because of who could possibly show up.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, the thing is, I know a lot of them are on tour, but that's kind of the time you get the special guest appearances. Because you don't expect them to be there.
Guys, I'm so jealous of you right now.
Yeah, I get to go to the show on Wednesday, and I'll probably do like a review, mini review next week.
But I'm excited to hear about
it. It's just an interesting thing if people want to look it up and buy the album, and it supports the Music Cares charity. And it's interesting. I listened to some of the album. It's pretty good. I mean, it's covers mostly. I think there's only like two original songs on it. But I'd recommend it as a listen, and it's kind of funny because it's essentially the nerds of the music business now, technically. They're like the old dudes. They're like the original. Only non-cool people go to see them because everyone thinks pop music's like the greatest thing in the world. But those guys ruled Hollywood back in the day, man. So
yeah,
I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think just being a part of that scene during this. Well, I mean, during the 70s. I mean, I remember the late 80s in the Hollywood scene, and that was pretty fucking nuts too. And then the 90s killed everything, but it didn't matter because the music that brought was fucking amazing. Everything moved to Seattle.
Yeah,
but it's cool to see that they're doing it in the positive, because it's charity for the most part, you know. And
and they're not doing like they're not playing it out for cash, obviously, because they could have done like an extensive tour,
right?
And people would have bought all the tickets, but they're like, nah, three shows and we're done.
That's super unique, so, that you guys got in for that. That's gonna be pretty amazing.
It's gonna be interesting. I'll see if I have more to talk about next week. But that's pretty much it. Cool. It's just a cool little super group that if anybody wants to check out.
Excellent. Okay, so we coming down to the end.
We're doing. I think we're doing final words.
Looks like Claudia's only advice is make sure you can argue a lot on certain days so that you can ruin somebody else's day.
Wow.
It doesn't.
I think that was a direct attack on him.
I'm just so mad at him today.
Because she doesn't know what I'm talking about. So
Well, maybe you should learn how to speak English.
Shut up.
Okay, so final words then.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of final words this week. So.
Fuck you guys, I'm going home. So final words. That really was.
Pants rubbing.
I already said what I was going to say.
All right.
If you guys haven't, I shouldn't tell. Well, actually, by the time anybody hears this, it'll be too late anyway. So good. Tomorrow morning, Danny Elfman is doing an extended concert for Nightmare Before Christmas at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh yeah! I read about that.
Yeah, so I'll be
at a wedding that night, so I can't go.
I will absolutely, positively be there.
Sounds really cool.
We've made this sort of a tradition. I've gone the last 2 years. Because he always plays in L.A. This one's actually going to be at the Hollywood Bowl on Halloween night,
and
Saturday.
He's playing with the movie actually running.
Wait, so you're going on Halloween?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said tomorrow. I was like,
No, the tickets go on sale tomorrow. No, the free sales tomorrow.
Okay.
Ticketmaster blows.
It's bot city. I mean, it's ridiculous. You log in to buy tickets like someone who wants to go to a concert. They disappear, and then they immediately show up for resale on the same fucking page, you know, at a higher rate. It's like, fuck you.
I honestly think Ticketmaster has its own bots and sells.
I wouldn't surprise me one bit, but I mean, there's plenty other. They really need to use the queue system.
Yeah.
So people log in and then they randomly sign up, because you wouldn't have any of that bullshit anymore where people come in and then bought up all the tickets.
When I got the Hollywood Vampire tickets, ridiculous. I just signed on I was there already at the website, and I just hit refresh and I got in, bought the four and got out, and then it was sold out. But I mean,
well, that was like when
I got lucky.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, Ticketmaster is ridiculous. The other thing is that I mentioned this to you guys that I'll probably take my my blog into a Tiny Table 3 blog.
Yay!
So we'll have a collective a place to post pictures, videos, and articles in one spot. And we have a couple friends that write, and I have a couple friends that give some interest in contributing some nerd articles to the website.
Have them submit it to me, and then I'll read it and be like, this is complete shit. Do it over. I'll just be really mean, and then when they ask you, dude, who's your editor? What editor?
Shut
your ugly face. I hate you.
Is there anything else you guys looking forward to this week?
Punching Claude in the face.
Wow. Really?
I'm going to Texas to go eat some barbecue. That's all I got. I got nothing.
That sounds good,
getting
though.
Getting the EP done, because I think we can do that this week.
We'll be in studio this week, which is kind of fun, too. Yeah.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to write a song, too. I think I have to get a new partner, though.
Let me know when it happens.
Yeah, I'm going to get a new partner.
Dude, we need to leave soon.
I'm
going to
write a song, too.
His partner,
I love BBA.
My partner's name is going to be Jimmy.
Good.
All right, I just tried to piss him off now.
Okay, everyone have a great week. Maybe we won't be as angry at each other next week.
Maybe.
I'm not angry at you. I'm only angry at people who are ignorant.
Oh, you're ignorant. You're just ignorant.
I'm going to be ignorant. BB-8's in the room. He makes everybody love each other.
We all love BB-8. No. We just don't love each other.
I'll send you a message with BB-8. It'll just be a middle finger. Hologram.
Oh, you can't use BB-8 for hate.
Hey. This is a podcast and nobody can see what I just did. But I don't need no fucking hologram. I flip you off from this finger attached to this.
I'm gonna say something. I've never actually read a book. Never read a book from front to back, from page to page.